Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We have a packed show for you tonight, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll learn about a workforce development event that's happening on Monday at the Ethelbert Library in Monticello. And don't forget, our fund drive is still happening. A full fund drive, give us a call here at 845-482-4141. Donate online at wjffradio.org. It's Friday at the local edition, and we have the one and only Chris Rowley on the phone with us now. Chris, one of the issues that's facing all towns and villages right now is the infrastructure. I mean, now we're doing election interviews right now, and that's one of the big questions we have is how do folks deal with an aging infrastructure? And here in Sullivan County, I would say for the matter of Fallsburg, at least, because that's which I cover, they're in dire need of upgraded infrastructures and in the process of getting grants to help pay for these things, because these things are costing millions and millions of dollars to upgrade a new wastewater treatment system to meet the new standards that the state are putting through.
Yeah, ever since I've been doing this job, you know, reporting on our little local towns, you know, I was doing Pine Bush and Shongum and then to Ellenville or Worthing. And I've looked at other places. And of course, we did Bloomingburg during the catastrophe of Bloomingburg, which was caused by the need to have a serious upgrade of their wastewater treatment system. That's a tiny place. I mean, it's like 400 people live there lived there then. I mean, maybe more now. But at that point, it was just so small that a developer could come in and say, well, look, if I can just have my way with the planning board, which is kind of what happened, I will put in, a couple of million to build a wastewater treatment plant. And that will get you out from under the hammer that the New York State DEC is about to bring down on that place, and that would bankrupt it and put it into state control, because what they had before was just a series of little ponds and no real drying effect. And they were basically putting a lot of raw effluent into the river. And the DEC would not buy that. It was just not going to happen. And people say to me sometimes, why does the DEC do that? Well, listen, the DEC is full of people who have careers in protecting the environment. That's what they do. Now, but take that on board. So they are not going to bend the rules for you or anything, right? Because that's their career. And they have to go on and maintain that career. And they cannot let themselves be corrupted or overturned or whatever. So they're going to be hard line. And that's the story to every municipality. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. So reality bites. And what you've got in parts of Sullivan County, we had here in Ellenville. Ellenville, 15 years ago, put in a new refurbished and improved wastewater treatment plant because the DEC was starting to get kind of angry and noisy.
Right.
And they did that. Now, it's been running ever since. But here's the thing. This is the thing that the remarkable and wonderful grant writer Mark Blauer has been making the point to town board in Worthing and other town boards, that you need redundancy. And the Ellenville plant don't have it. If you have redundancy, you can shut down the main system and rely on a secondary system while you repair the first system. But it's not a car that you can just take off the road and have it fixed. It's got to work 24/7, 364 or 5 days a year. It's got to go. And that means that the equipment, if it fails, has to be replaced quickly. And this is the sort of thing that no municipality has really wanted to deal with. They don't want to spend all this money. The voters are not terribly happy at the thought either, but this is unfortunately reality. So anyway, Mark Blauer has made that point loud and clear. Redundancy needs to be built into these systems. That's expensive, but it's expensive as long as you don't need it. But when the moment comes that some big part of your wastewater treatment system has stopped functioning and you're starting to put straight raw effluent into a nearby stream, that's when the DEC comes to you. And the DEC has one of the biggest hammers in New York bureaucracy, $37,500 a day fine, which they don't necessarily, it's not necessarily that they're going to do that, but they've got anywhere up to then that to hit you with. No municipality in our area can survive that for even a week without its budget being blown to pieces. So you've got to have some ability to keep everything functioning. So I've sat there in Ellenville village board meetings over and over and over, you know, when aspects of that units, the units that were put in back in 2010, are failing. They have to be replaced. And here again, you can't go and get these blowers and these other pumps and so on from, you don't go to Home Depot for them. You know, they're proprietary yeah. equipment designed just for that system. So they ain't cheap. You know, they're sort of like 29,000 and 43,000 and two at 14,000. And you can see the face of the mayor just going, oh God, you know, I mean, and I understand it, you know, it blows budgets. So there's the issue with that. That the stuff has to be replaced all the time. It isn't cheap. It may not even be affordable. But if we've got this problem and it's all over our area, then every one of our little municipalities has got to deal with this. There's one of those issues. And we have this thing right now at Woodridge. And the question I have is, you know, I need to know a lot more about the Woodridge system. I believe in 2022. They put in some larger tanks. There was a refurbishing of the wastewater treatment plant there. Was it sufficient? Is it overwhelmed every so often by some large entity upstream that just happens to, for one reason or another, need to put a lot of water out at some point? But is it put out water that's got stuff in it? We ran an article this week which reflected comments from local residents who called us, you know, saying the water's disgusting, there's stuff going in. And sent us photos, and it did look disgusting, and it's scary. And the DEC, you know, responds to that stuff, you know, the way that vultures respond to someone dying in the desert. I mean, it just, bam, they're on it, you know. And, you know, they're beginning to make the answer.
Yeah, because, well, first of all, you know, of course, they're on it just because, you know, we are New York City's drinking water. When I first moved up here, I was surprised to see New York City cop cars driving around, but it's because at the Neverstick Reservoir, there is a New York City police station there monitoring the reservoirs there. And, you know, and not only that, the Sullivan Catskills here in Ulster County, ecotourism is huge. You know, no one's going to come fish the waters if it's dark gray and blue, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, October the 6th, DEC staff looking at the Sandberg Creek downstream of Silver Lake in the village of Woodridge, DEC staff observed a gray, odorous, turbid discharge coming that originated from the Newburgh Egg Facility, which is a large employer of, big firm that produces lots and lots of eggs. Unpermitted discharge is entering into a wetland upstream of Silver Lake in violation of water quality standards. DEC is going to be on a mission to deal with Newburgh Egg, which is a big company, but they, believe me, there's no company in New York State that wants to get into a battle with the DEC. So that's going to probably be taken care of. But for Woodridge, which is not a large community, the bigger issue may be that they need a real complete overhaul, a whole new wastewater treatment center. I don't know at this point exactly how bad the situation is there. But whatever it is, it's going to be expensive. And, and I go back to, going back to Mark Blauer. Blauer has made the point over and over to Town of Worcester Town Board that you need redundancy, so that you can shut the thing down and fix it if there's something really seriously wrong, and have another system that operates at that point so you can keep doing it, because you can't turn it off and let waste water untreated go into the stream, because that brings the DEC and they bring their $37,500 hammer with them. This is one of these uncomfortable things that towns and municipalities and taxpayers, have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure this story is going to continue, and we haven't seen the end of it, you know.
Yeah, and also the thing is worth noting that this is not the first time that Newburgh Egg has done this. I believe it's 2023, I would say, or I'm not sure the date. But they were fined also for almost the exact same thing, you know, a discharge into the river, into the creek.
Right, it was $100,000 fine. you know, I don't know. Neuburgig is a pretty good company. I mean, it was a family-owned company. I think the family's still involved. It grew up from something that's small in the 50s, 1955, I think, maybe it began. You know, and it's grown into a successful business, and they do millions of eggs a year and all the rest of it. But, I mean, I don't know whether 100,000 is more than a slap on the wrist or whether it's sort of, but I get a feeling that, you know, this sort of thing has to stop, and they may have to spend some serious money to make sure it does stop.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it comes down. And at that point, you know, your municipality that in some respects depends on the jobs provided by an industrial facility, but the industrial facility, for whatever reasons, is in a position where their systems are overwhelmed or whatever, and they're putting dirty wastewater, chemicals, whatever, into a creek, which runs through your wastewater treatment plant and is overwhelming that, and that's going into the creek, and now the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation guys are there, and they're looking at you. And remember, they are professionals, they have reputations to protect, and they are not going to give you a break unless they can find some way to do it. But, you know, you're really asking a lot of them because their reputations are on the line. So with that, that's where the rock meets the hard place,
right?
Or the rubber hits the road, or any one of those things, right? We're all going to have to sort of deal with this. And I suspect that taxes are going to have to go up. But of course, there is the 2% tax gap. So it's going to be difficult.
It's going to be difficult. But I'll just comment on 2% tax cap, because there was a big fight recently in the town of Fallsburg. They, you know, obviously passed a local law saying that they might pass the 2% tax cap, which all towns and villages really do during budget time, at least in Sullivan County, I've noticed. But there was a big fight on that, because the possibility that towns and villages like Fallsburg might go over the 2% tax cap due to the fact of rising costs and aging infrastructure.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the answer really is get Mark Blauer's phone number, call him, and get him working on grants, because he knows, he's an expert on this, and he's done so much work for Town of Worthing. He's bought Town of Worthing about $10 million. I mean, he knows where to go. He knows how to pitch it. He knows how to write those grants so that they have a good chance of success. And it's competitive. And he always makes that point. You know, you're not the only one. It's a herd of you going in there trying to get this money. That is one answer. And you get if you get a grant for $800,000, $900,000, that will help. And then you can, you know, carry it forward.
Chris, I think this is a good spot to leave it there.
Okay.
And it's definitely conversations we're going to have in the future, because it's an ongoing issue. So we'll talk to Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Again, Chris, as always, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Everyone have a good weekend. It looks like it's going to be brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Local Edition on a Friday evening, and I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Stay tuned.
Is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters right now. Thanks.
Give now at wjffradio.org.
That's wjffradio.org. Hey there, I'm Jason. Checking in the middle of the local edition here and looking for your support and giving you an update. We do have this $500 challenge that we've been trying to raise. We now have just 45 minutes left to raise the rest of this challenge. Thank you so much to the generous challenger, is volunteer Steve Fetner. We've heard from Donna Marie. We heard from the Bear Hill chapter of the Ramble Tamble Cragsmore Fan Club. We also heard from Anonymous in Narrowsburg. All told, we have raised $200 towards this challenge. We have just $300 left to go. What can you give? As we get back into the local edition, remember, we're waiting to hear from you. I'm here. I can take your call. Call us now at 845-482-4141. Jason Tugan's coming up with a two-hour mixtape in just 45 minutes. It'd be great to make this challenge by then. Call 845-482-4141. Donate at wjffradio.org. Looking for that next $300. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. There is a job fair coming up, and it's happening on Monday at the Ethel B. Crawford Library in Monticello. It's a partnership happening with the Center for Discovery. They are looking for some workers. And on the phone with us now, we have Caitlin Toby, Mary Paige Klaus from the Monticello Library, and we also have John Fanning and Allison White from the Center for Discovery. Before we get into the job fair, Mary Paige, welcome back to the program. Let's first start off with talking about what's some events that are coming up for the library.
Sure. Thanks for this opportunity to talk about some things we have going on at the library. We have some events this weekend. One is a mask making session for kids, and that's in the afternoon. But in the morning, we have a session for adults who are looking to find out more about Medicare. John Busquet from the Medicare Resource Group is going to be here. Medicare is really complicated. You can go to multiple sessions and still have more questions. So we encourage people to come to that. That's at 10:30 in the morning. And then we have coming up. So we have a Sullivan County Poet Laureate program. And Kevin Graham is going to be at several libraries over the months of November and December. But he's going to be at our library on November 25th. At 6 o'clock, and there'll be an open mic. So there are lots of people. If anybody would like to participate in that, we welcome them to look at our calendar at ebcpl.org to find out how to register, or they can sign up when they come, actually, as well.
Okay. That's what's
that?
We also have coming up in November a community art exhibit with Nick Rose. He is part of the Berryville Arts Association, and that will take place from November 1st to December 13th. After that, we also have a How to Use Smartphones program next week on Thursday, and I will be running it. It's a way for us to get to the community, be able to help them learn how to use technology and all the basic features of smartphones that some of the older community may not know how to use. So it's a great opportunity for them to come to the library and be able to learn things with us. And it's a fun program. So I think everyone will have a lot of fun with it.
It sounds like you have a full schedule of events that's happening at the Ethelbert Crawford Monticello Library.
Yes, yeah. Things going on almost every day of the week.
Yes, we have book discussions. We have two book discussions that we offer. One is on the fourth Monday of every month, and we discuss a vast variety of books. It's hybrid, so people can participate remotely as well as in person, and that's at 1:30 in the afternoon. And we added a new book discussion group in the last couple of months, and that one we do out in the community. We call it Books and Brews, and the genre for that is sci-fi and or fantasy. So if you're interested in that, that happens on the third Wednesday of the month, and that's in the evening at 6:30 at Brew in Rock Hill.
Are there any Zoom options for these events?
We don't have any. We do have Zoom for the hybrid book discussion, and that takes place on October 27th. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a organizing with Jamie Novak coming up in the new year, which will be virtual. And that is January, March, and May. So it's going to give us a few options for people who can't come to the library. We're also working on getting more Zoom options for a lot of our regular programs as well. So it'll give people the opportunity who can't always come here to be able to watch it from home.
And then you have a big event that's coming up on Monday, right?
Yes, we have the Center for Discovery event happening on Monday from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the library in the community room. It will be a hiring event, and they'll have a bunch of different jobs available, getting to learn about the jobs in the community. And I think they're actually on with us now.
How are you doing?
Yes, hi.
How are you doing? Allison and John.
I'm the Director of Talent Acquisition here at the Center for Discovery. I'm here with my colleague, Allison White. She is also a director here at the Center for Discovery. And yeah, we are glad to announce and partner with the Monticello Library on this coming Monday from an event from 12 to 4. It's going to be a hiring event for the Center for Discovery. We are going to be doing on-the-spot job interviews for a number of positions, but there where we will be focusing a lot of attention is our teaching assistants and our direct support professionals. Both positions offer fantastic opportunities for growth and advancement. We have partnered with Sullivan County Community College to offer a a three-tiered system where we will be educating our direct support professionals and offering pay increases with each tier level completion. So that is exciting that we are partnering with two local companies, both the library and Sullivan County Community College. And that's really what we're trying to do here. That's our what we're trying to accomplish is building our relationships within the community. And people don't know sometimes, even though they lived here their whole lives, they don't know what we do here at the Center for Discovery, what kind of jobs we have available. So we're taking the opportunity to build these partnerships and go out to the community and show the community who we are, what we do. And we do really fantastic work here at the Center for Discovery. And it's very impactful on not only our residents' lives, but it's also impactful on the people that we employ. So yeah, we're excited to announce this partnership. We are also going to be, this is the first stop of our tour. We're going to be touring other locations throughout the Sullivan County, but this is our pilot and we are very excited. Once again, it's from 12 to 4 p.m. on Monday. We'll be doing on-the-spot interviews and who knows, you can come there and come home with a job if you're looking for employment.
Yeah, no.
So we invite everyone to come out, and we'll be there if you have any questions about building your resume or any job search related questions. We'll be there to guide you, and we're very excited.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the questions I had. Well, two questions I have is, if you go a little bit more into the types of jobs that will be offered, and if you have any tips for those who want to attend and want to make the best showing they can.
So we have we are hiring for many direct support professional positions. These individuals will be working in a group home setting, supporting either children or adults with disabilities. And, you're living life with them. You're helping them to learn new skills and build independence. You're helping them with things like mealtimes and hygiene and teaching them important skills. Tips I would give somebody, we are looking for candidates that you have to be 18 years old or older to apply. Somebody that is kind and compassionate. We are always looking for people that want to come here and make a difference. That is probably the biggest skill, the biggest thing that we're looking for is somebody that is kind and compassionate. You don't need to have a special certification to start. We can get you in, and train you to be able to work in this environment. Your biggest tool that you'll need is the openness to learn. You do need to have a high school diploma or GED. That is the basic requirement.
Gotcha.
I would just like to piggyback off Allison. A tip I would have is to do your research before coming. Look at our website. Look at the different jobs that we have posted on our careers page. We are not only just hiring for those positions. We have the Center for Discovery is basically like a little city. We have everything from mechanics, chefs, security officers, you name it. Nurse practitioners, RNs. We have multiple shifts available for a lot of our positions. If you have a flexible schedule each work nights, we have night positions. Just do your research, look at the center, see what we actually do if you're not familiar. And any questions, come with questions. We love to have questions. We love to answer the questions. Come along, bring your friend, bring your brother, bring your sister, bring anyone you know.
Right. Yeah, and to talk about almost Set Discovery being like almost like a city, I've done many tours. I just recently did a tour. I was invited to one of the vinegar tastings that the Center of Discovery has, and I'm just always amazed by the size of the campuses because they're spread out throughout Sullivan County. So these positions will be throughout Sullivan County, right? Of all the different campuses that the center has.
That is correct. We have a pretty large presence here in Harris. We also have a very large presence out in Hurleyville. We have a tiny presence in Liberty and in Grahamsville. And then we have our newest presence out in Rock Hill, and that's the Children's Specialty Hospital.
John, you mentioned that this is sort of the pilot program and you're looking to expand to other places in Sullivan County, meaning these job fairs that you're holding. What does the future look like? Are we going to be sticking to libraries or are we going to different types of organizations?
Yeah, we're starting with the library tour and we're going to be targeting all the libraries around Sullivan County, places where we wanted to start with Monticello being the largest town in Sullivan County, we want to start with that partnership with this library specifically, and then go off. We'd like to hit Western Sullivan. We'd like to hit the Grahamsville area, areas where people may not know much about the center. So we can expand footprints and our message.
Allison or John, what does a successful fair looks like to you at the end of the day?
Yeah, so for me, our success is going to be measured. It's not just the amount of flyers. Yes, hires would be great, but it's also reaching out to the community, getting the community involved. And we would like to, if you know someone who might be looking at might not be able to make it, maybe leaves or sharing contact information. We're really trying to help out the community here and help people get employed. Times are tough now, and it's hard to find work. And we want to be, by doing this, we want to like to be that conduit that connects the community to the organization.
Mary, Paige, and Caitlin, what does this partnership mean to the Library of Monticello?
It's a great opportunity for us to be able to help the community, be able to find some job opportunities, and to also be a hub for the community to come to and to feel like they're represented. And it's also a great way to get more people through the library to see the books and all the programs that we have. So I think it's a great community partnership because the community is always what's most important.
The door to the library is another priority for us, so people can go in and actually see what the library has to offer, because they have a lot. I've been there a few times since we started speaking about this, and they have a lot to offer, a lot more than I even realized. So when you're there, you could look around. There's a lot of things that they're doing that I'm almost positive people are not aware of. So getting the people through the door, it's going to be great. So we're very excited for the partnership.
The Monticello Library and all the libraries are really are gems in Sullivan County, and all the resources and information they have for folks. So John, Allison, Caitlin, and Mary Page, anything else before we end this conversation?
I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you for getting us on the air. Appreciate it. I know this is kind of on the last minute, so we're happy you were able to get us on such short notice. And we look forward to partnering with you on future endeavors as well.
Caitlin, do you want to just give the information again? This is happening on Monday, right? Starting at 12?
It's happening on Monday in the Robert D. Norris Community Room at the Ethelbert B. Crawford Public Library from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m.
All right. Awesome. Again, John, Allison, Caitlin, and Mary Page, thank you so much for talking to me about this and about the upcoming job fair. Like I said, it's happening on Monday starting at noon at the Ethel B. Crawford Library in Monticello, right there on Broadway. Again, thank you so much for joining me on the program.
Thank you.
And that does it for the local edition on this Friday evening. Don't forget, our fund drive is still going on. Give us a call here at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to have live music on the air in our Studio B. Live music is going to be happening on the air. Check it out. Look for us on social media. Check out our website, wjffradio.org. Support us on our fund drive because Congress told us to go fund ourselves. And that's what we're doing. But we need your help. Give us a call here, 845-482-4141, or donate online at wjffradio.org. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, rock on.
It's Peter Sagal. Congress has ended federal funding for public media, but this station's best bet has always been you. Take control of the station's future. Become a sustaining member today. Here's how.
Make your donation at wjffradio.org.
And do that now, please, because we're trying to make a $500 challenge. We now have just 31 minutes left to do this. Please, give what you can. 845-482-4141. If you could wait till I get off air, I'm the only one here, but I'll answer the phone if you call. 845-482-4141. And a big thanks to, we heard from a listener, Barbara, donating online. Thank you, Barbara. We heard on the phone, we heard from listener Judy, dedicated listener Judy. Thank you so much. And we also heard from Anonymous in New York City. All told, now we have $150 left to this $500 challenge. That's right. We've raised $350. We've been working on this. The next $150 will get us a $500 donation. Please. Help us out with this. We've got just half an hour to do this, and we're going to be in the daily getting ready for Jason Tugod doing a fabulous two-hour set coming up live at 7 o'clock. Let's make this challenge before Jason even gets here. Give what you can. Go to WJFFradio.org. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We are ending this fun drive. We need all friends on deck. Call me now, 845-482-4141. It's 845-482-4141. Again, $150 left on this challenge. How much can you do? This is WJFF Jeffersonville.